Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's great to be with you today. Today, I'm going to talk a bit about ages and stages on the journey of life. And I'm doing that in part and associated with several different things that have happened. Again, in the four parts of the program today, I'm going to start by talking a bit about some of the folks that I met out at A Lady Star of the Sea, who had a chance to give me some feedback about having walked with me with Sound Insight, with this radio program, for sometimes 20 years. And that's such a striking thing. And so I want to unfold that for you. In the second part of the program, I'm going to talk a bit about the stage of life where many of the listeners, many of you that are listening, are in that empty nester stage, in that stage of shifting into being grandparents as maybe the primary mode of caregiving that you have, and some of the challenges that are associated with that. And that's something that Carrie and I are going to take a closer look at, just covering some of the aspects of life and retirement. I'm not going to dig into all that today, but I'm going to touch upon a couple of themes associated with that. Then in the third part of the program, I'm going to reflect on the readings for this Sunday. And honestly, I'm going to touch on Saturday as well, because you're probably aware this is the feast of the Solemnity of All Saints Day, as well as of All Souls Day. And then lastly, I have a couple of podcasts that I'm going to share with you some insights into that I hope you find to be a blessing as well. So lots to cover today, and I can't wait to get started. Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com. Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you for the gift of living in time, for the gift of walking with you, Lord, towards our heavenly home. And Lord, I ask a blessing upon this program and upon all who listen. Lord, give us the grace to be encouraged by your word that draws near to us. Lord, speak to us the word that we most need to hear. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Pope Francis had a word that he used quite a bit that became a watchword, if you will, sort of a key way that he described the concept of discipleship and of our relationship with God and with each other. And the word was accompaniment. And I smiled when he started to use that word, because my use of the word far preceded his pontificate. I would use the word routinely in describing my work as a coach. As a coach, I accompanied, I walked with people. I walked with, again, typically it would be executives, corporate executives, and I would walk with them. And in walking with them in the quote-unquote journey and in the time that they were working, I would engage in this process of coaching that involved dialogue that led to insight. And then from there was an action that would be determined and then put into practice, and then would come back together and we would have another dialogue about that or other issues that would show up. And that would hopefully lead to more insight to see into the situation or oneself or what's going on. And then from there, take an action. So dialogue inside action. And for me, that was a way of describing what a coach does. A coach provides a confidential sounding board to accompany, to walk with you. So it's not just throwing insights over the wall or providing good information, solid research or good information, but at an abstract distance that someone just might discover online by themselves. Now, this was personal. There was something deeply personal about the concept of accompaniment. It's, I see you, you have come into my orbit, you've come into my sphere of influence or into my in relationship with me. And so, you know what, I'm going to walk together with you. And that theme, it went far beyond the concept of the executive coaching I did with corporate folks. It certainly moved into the realm of faith, and in particular, around the types of engagements that I would seek out with parishes and with you on the radio. And so one of the, like, for instance, the traditional name of my radio program is Sound Insight. And that concept of sound insight was related both to the Puget Sound, as well as the idea of sound meaning healthy or whole or something that would lead to healthfulness and flourishing. So there was a double meaning to the word sound. And then you, of course, captured the idea that this wasn't sound information. This wasn't sound facts. This wasn't just solid teaching. No, it was sound insight to help you see into your life of faith, to see into how you would might be able to recognize, how is God drawing close to you? What is God asking of you? How will you respond? So dialogue, insight, action, that dialogue happens not only within ourselves, it happens with others that we care about deeply, and yes, to God himself. So this idea of accompaniment, walking together, let's walk together on this path, on this journey, was very powerful and meaningful to me. I mentioned yesterday Father Dennis Robb, and he was one of the very first priests in the Archdiocese of Seattle to really, like, take the risk of saying, Tom, I'm going to engage with you in a way that we're going to walk with you as a parish for a year. We're going to walk through an entire school year with you, and you're going to shape and mold our parish by providing insight into the teaching of the church in a way that is applicable to our lives of faith. And so, again, I'm very grateful to Father Robb. Please, again, pray for the repose of his soul, as well as for that of Father Jay DeFalco, who also went home to God recently. And so remember to walk with them in prayer. This is what we do, is we pray together. We pray for each other in a way that will show that sense of mutual support, encouragement, and accountability. So as I get started into this, I mentioned at the beginning, at the outset, introducing the program, that I had a sense of warm connection when I went out to Our Lady Star of the Sea, not only because I've been there over the last 25 years, on again, off again, because of Father Lappy and his shepherding of that parish as the pastor. And we've always had this sense of mutual support and encouragement. And anything I could do for Father, I'm in. Let me know. How can I help? So when he had reached out to me and said, hey, I want you to come and to do an extensive set of teaching around this theme, I'm like, Father, let's find a date. Let's go. It was that simple. But when I was there, one of the things that showed up was some folks who had come up to me and they said, you know how long I've been walking with you? Do you know how long we've been, like, together in this journey of faith? And they may not have used that exact language, but that's what they were saying. And that always makes me encouraged. It makes me smile. That idea that, okay, mission accomplished, right? This is what we are supposed to do. This is what you, in your own sphere of influence, among the people that God places you, will be people that you're called upon to walk with. And so that's something that Carrie and I have been open to in the course of our married life, that people would occasionally reach out and say, hey, can you be a sounding board for me or for us in this situation or circumstance? And it often involved marriage or parenting issues. Sometimes it was career issues or discerning specific situations and decisions. And I would always say, we're not therapists, and I'm not a spiritual director. And so with those things in place, I did say, well, we're certainly open to be a confidential sounding board right? To provide that sense of a safe place to have a dialogue that's authentic and that we'll certainly bring to bear our own experience and be open. And I think one of the things that made it attractive or made it an option that people would be drawn to was the fact that Carrie was so good about being authentic. Or the other word that I'd say is transparent. Sometimes the word that would show up would be vulnerable. And the way that would show up would be on the radio, where we would share about our journey, about the way that we would walk together in faith in the course of our lives. And we weren't just moving from victory to victory, from one step on the stairway of holiness to the next step, where we're getting higher and higher and we're leaving everybody behind. That is not what you'd experience. But in fact, one of the magnetic draws of the program that these folks were sharing was that it's relatable. Okay, we're not the only ones that are struggling with this. We're not the only ones that are trying to figure this out, or we fall short in that area too. And so there's a way in which when you're open to show them your wounds, show them your wounds. It's Jesus on Easter Sunday appearing in the upper room. The door is locked. So many people have locked doors around places in their lives where they're afraid, where there's a sense of not vulnerability, right? This is a scary moment, and what's going to happen? We don't know. And what does Jesus do? He goes through the locked door. He goes through the locked door and he speaks the word peace. And then he shows them his wounds. He shows them his wounds. And then he speaks the word peace again. And he eventually breathes on them the Holy Spirit, granting them, again, a heavenly mission. And then they're able to go forward out the doors. And so I share this with you just as a getting launched into the program, with this idea that, you know, the Lord, he has for you as well, people that you're going to walk with in this journey of faith, people that you are going to be invited by the Lord to encourage them, to support them, to even help them be accountable. And that's part and parcel of what it means to live here on earth, is that we need to keep moving. We need to keep walking. We need to be able to really trust that in the age and stage that God has us in, he has something for us and he wants to move us forward. It's a theme that is coming back to my mind as I'm starting writing my book on the Camino, No Half Measures, how walking the Camino provided me with the gift of a gracious disruption, and how to live a 10x life, a life that has a tenfold return for the Lord. And one of the very early things that emerged in my walking the Camino was that theme of walking. It's something that I haven't really heard before in teachings of the saints or in biblical scholars talking about this. It's just something that bubbled up because I was doing a ton of walking, getting ready for the Camino, and then walking on the Camino itself. Is that, wait a minute, you start noticing in the scriptures that the very first interaction that is discussed between Jesus, God and Adam and Eve, is when God comes down to walk with them in the garden in the cool of the evening. There's a mention of walking as the context for communication. There's a walking together and they're hiding. They're naked and ashamed and they're hiding. They're hiding rather than journeying with walking. Enoch just a few chapters later, when he goes home to heaven, he walked with God. So the first encounter of being in contact here on earth between God and Adam and Eve is in the context of walking. Heaven is described as walking with God. And then, yes, there are other instances, right? Jesus, right? He, follow me, walk with me, walk behind me, walk with me. In fact, the very life of faith, who I am in your regard, is not only the truth and the life, but I'm the way. I'm the path that you are to follow. My life is your model. My life is your trail. My life is your path. Do you want to know what your life is to look like? Follow my way. Follow me. I am your way. And so many different encounters with Christ happens as he's walking or as they're walking. So I'm not a full teaching on this. It's not my intent right now. But just to say, in the scriptures, this idea of journeying together is so fundamental. It's so fundamental. From a theological perspective, St. Thomas Aquinas, you've heard me say this how many times, he describes the fundamental structure of our lives here on earth is life lit. We are one who is on the way. One who is on the, that's who you are. That's the fundamental structure of your existence, meaning this isn't home. This is not home. You'll find this thrusting forward, this movement forward, this sense of you cannot poke pegs into the ground and say, this is where I'll make my final home. I know I desire home, but this isn't it. I'm on the way to my final home, which is heaven, to be with the Lord forever. And if we could have that perspective, if we could let that idea of the idea of a journey on the way, that could be a huge help in us navigating some of the challenges that we'll face in life. And that's where I'm going to pause right there. I'll pause right there. And I'm going to come back to this theme of walking together on the journey of faith as we head home, that it is a structure of what it means to be alive, but it also is reflective of ages and stages of life. And I'm going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to talk a bit about that regarding life stages, and in particular, when we move into that stage, that is the stage that right now is so relevant to Carrie and me. It is, I'm going to hesitate to use the word retirement, but it's not yet empty nester, but it's something different. Well, what is it? I'll tell you about that in just a minute. Welcome back to the program. So in this segment, I'm going to talk a bit about the idea of life stages and in this journey as we walk through life, as we follow Jesus on the way. One of the things that we are called to do is to reverence ourselves as people who have limitations. That was a phrase I learned from my spiritual director, philosophy professor, priest, holy priest of God, Father Mark Noonan. He was someone who was born into this world with some significant neurological limitations. And he had to learn as a young man to adapt to his circumstances in order to be able to live well with his limitations. And this is something he talked about in a public setting, so I'm not giving away secrets. And by the way, he went home to the Lord this year, so it's not as if people are going to bump into him, but it might give you a reason to pray for him. So he was, for instance, someone who he wasn't able to play pool. Like there was a pool table and he was in the seminary and he came down and he was watching us play. And I said, "Oh, Father, would you like to play?" And he said, I'm not able to play because of the spatial coordination of the balls and the cue, and that his mind doesn't process the way that balls operate in space. And so, for instance, he said that if someone were to like throw a ball in like baseball, a softball, that he would not be able to see the ball coming in sort of three dimensions towards him, but it was like in two dimensions. So if the softball was going up and then coming down, for him, it was in two dimensions, just literally up and down, but not any sense of, oh, it's arcing towards me. And that was, that had to do with his limitations of how he processed things. Now, he also had this incredible capacity to see math in three dimensions, whatever that means, because I don't. So he was able, when he saw like a math problem, he didn't have to try to figure it out, like taking the different mathematical steps in order to solve an equation, but rather he was able to see the answer as in his mind. He was able to see the meaning of a particular equation and then see the solution. Anyways, I bring that up because he would talk about having experienced certain capabilities and certain limitations that would translate into learning to live well with the particular weakness or brokenness or challenge that you face. And so as we get older, and this is what I'm talking about in this particular moment, in this program, is that in the journey through life, there are different ages and stages. And Carrie and I, we've walked through a number of the stages already, you know, being single, courting, getting married, and then the stage of raising children. And now we're in a different stage of life. Carrie says, oh, I long for those days that were simpler when the kids were smaller, the problems were smaller. Now the kids, we've got five teenagers. And then now our youngest just reached the teen years. And so then we have four kids older than the teen years. And those are now a different set of challenges. And there's more at stake, right? But it also has meant that there is a different focus in Carrie and my life regarding what are we going to do at this age and stage of life. You already, if you've been following me in the course of this program, know that we had a pretty life, we had a significant, meaningful, life-giving change that happened as a result of going away to Boise for about 4 days on Memorial Day week, the Monday of Memorial Day weekend, and then continuing on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We came down here because of Carrie. Thank you, Jesus, because of Carrie. She recognized the stage that we were in and was saying, we have to pay attention to what's coming next. And I had been living my life very much head down, just pushing forward. We've got so much work I'm trying to get done in order to provide for the family and to do ministry and to serve people in real estate and to be able to manage the kids and all of their life circumstances. There wasn't much of a chance to sort of pop my head out of the water and look around and breathe and say, wait a minute, what's happening now and what's happening next? And I just, again, thank the Lord for Carrie and her sense of saying, we ought to be doing this. And I can honestly say in the last year and a half, my life has changed so dramatically in terms of the path that we're taking. We have shed so much of what has made our lives focused on trying to provide for our family financially, working so hard to take care of things, and all of the stress and pressure and anxiety and those sorts of things, and the negative impacts of that. Remember, learning to live well in the stage that you're in, I just didn't have an awareness of the diminishments that happened once I turned 60. And it wasn't just that it happened magically at 60, but it had been going on for 10 or 15 years. And that has to do with things like a diminishment of muscle mass, a diminishment of muscle strength, a diminishment even of cognitive function and of energy. Carrie would say this. She said, Tom, we have to be more alert to the fact that we just don't have the same amount of energy that we used to have. So a lot of planning, what we can be doing with our lives, brothers and sisters, is we can be making plans for the future that are based on the energy level, the cognitive abilities, the muscle mass, the strength, the capabilities that are from our past. And we just don't have that anymore. And in fact, if we're not careful, if we're not being more attentive to things that are having serious or meaningful impact on our lives, we could end up having a severe diminishment, like a health, a medical event that fundamentally shifts our lives, or set ourselves up for a change in circumstance. Like if we're not paying more attention to what we're eating, are we exercising? Are we getting a medical examination and blood work and getting sort of I'll use this word full panel, just getting a full range of tests done to get a baseline of how healthy we are and how not healthy we are and what do we need to do to improve? We could end up with a drop off in health that could severely shorten our lives, which it wouldn't be good stewardship. And so, you know, we've been here now since the early July, so July, August, September, October, so about 4 months. And in the 4 months that we've been here, these 4 months have still been very much a time of transition in my own personal life. And I just share this with you all to say that I have spent the first couple of months really focused on shifting out of a focus on serving people in real estate day to day. That is one thing that I've shifted. And you've heard me talk about a call to spend this time focused more on using the energy and focus and the strength I have to serve the Lord and growing in holiness and fulfilling a mission, right? And that's another big change that happens in this like sort of second half of life, is that there is that shift away from kingdom building of trying to earn money and grow in a career and gaining more influence or fame, right? Those sorts of things. And instead, the focus is more on relationships, things that are closer to one's sense of mission and purpose and achieving fulfillment and even a sense of handing on to others, giving back to others, creating a sense of legacy. Right. That shift actually brings people lots of fulfillment and happiness. It's one of the things they say the saddest decade, the decade in life where you're likely to be the saddest is your 40s. I'd never heard that before, but in learning a lot about like this shift that's happening in my own life, this idea that once you're able to shed and move a bit out of that intense, stressful focus on providing for your family. And I'm still in it, honestly, with still having 3 kids at home, 4 kids in college, and 2 kids beyond who are figuring life out. It's not like that has gone away from my life entirely, for sure. But it has given me the precious gift of taking more time to learn more about my bodily health, the muscle mass and muscle strength, the cognitive sense of wanting to have clarity rather than cloudiness, alertness and energy rather than tiredness and sluggishness. And in the last 2 months, I've put quite a bit more focus and attention on getting healthy. And I want to say I'm thrilled with the results. And there's one person happier with the results than I am, and that's Carrie. She's just thrilled. She's like, who are you? Why didn't you do this 20 years ago? Why didn't you do this a long time ago? And I've got great excuses. I've got great rationalizations and everything from, I was so busy just pouring my life out, just trying to keep up with my kids and trying to provide for the family, that I neglected significantly taking care of my own bodily health and well-being. And so I want to say that the Lord has given me a great gift of not having me be brought out of that life approach through having a medical event. And that does happen. People have bad things happen medically if their lifestyle doesn't change. And so I bring that to you just as my point of focus, and I'm going to move on from here, that there are different stages in life, brothers and sisters, and we ought to honor and respect, and here's the word from Father Noonan, reverence the age and stage that we're in. And if you're transitioning from one stage to the other, be attentive. Pay attention to the factors that can impact what it means to flourish moving from one stage to the other. I'll revisit this again in different facets in days and weeks to come, because there's so much to cover. But I want to be very respectful of the fact that there are so many people in this circumstance, and the baby boomer situation in life, and the older end of the Gen X folks, that learning to live well in this time of transition is a big deal. All right, I'll be back in a minute to talk more about a different aspect of our journey of faith. Welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. It's so good to be with you. So in this segment of the program, I want to talk about the Sunday readings. And I'm going to actually bleed back into Saturday as well. And you probably know why, right? So tomorrow is All Hallows Eve, right? I'll pick up on that theme tomorrow. But Saturday is a solemnity. It's All Saints Day. However, in the United States, All Saints Day, as a holy day of obligation, when it falls on a Saturday, and I think also if it falls on a Monday, that it really, let's just at least say if it falls on a Saturday, that it's not considered a holy day of obligation. It's still a solemnity, but the obligation aspect of it is removed. And so, and then Sunday is All Souls Day. And so you may be going to Mass on Sunday, and you may just have the Sunday readings for that particular Sunday in ordinary time, or you may be, in fact, reflecting on All Souls Day. And so in this segment of the program, I'm talking about this journey of faith as it relates to that age and stage where we're headed. It's a common thing today when people like read the structure of their own being and say, we are people who are on the way, to translate that into sort of the popular idea that life is not a destination, it's a journey. Or life is a journey, not a destination. And there's a way in which, again, it's tapping into this structure of where we're moving and we're on this journey, and this journey could be an adventure, and then the focus stays just on the present. But if we're going to live well, we ought to live in the light of where we're headed. To say that the journey is more important than the destination is not a position of faith. In fact, it is obscuring the most important part of faith, which is where we end up on this journey. That there is, like, when we stop and I ask that fundamental question, what's at stake in your life? What's at stake in your life? Yeah, you can talk about it in terms of worldly goals. Will I be a good father? Will I be a faithful husband? Will I be a good example of a Catholic Christian a follower of Jesus Christ? Will I lead and provide and protect my family, right? Will I achieve those life goals that I have? And those are very natural things for us to focus on. But the bigger question is, where do I end up? Where do I end up forever? It's no guarantee that when you go home to God, when you die, we all go through death's door, that on the other side of that door is the merciful Lord ready to welcome you home, well done, good and faithful servant. We don't know the day or the hour when we, not just when Jesus is coming back, but when we might be going and meeting him. And so we ought to be praying to not be caught off guard, not to be caught unaware or ill-prepared to meet our Maker. We will be giving an account one day. And I think that it is so helpful for us to be paying attention to the liturgical calendar on All Saints Day and All Souls Day. Obviously, for a couple of reasons. First, we pray for those who've gone before us in faith. So I pray for my mom and my dad, right? So my dad died 2 years ago. My mom died 8 years ago, right around this time of year. And so I still pray for them. It's not a daily thing, but now and again, they still come to mind as people I pray for. I do have, again, a real confidence in the Lord and the graces that come through the sacraments that my parents did die in a state of grace. And I also know that they would likely have a lot of healing and unbinding of a lot of knots and wounds and other things that would mean that they're going to be in purgatory as well. And so, in fact, just to say in passing, one of the really critical things, and this is going to be worth a conversation, not for today, but it's been 2 years and we're still figuring out probate for my dad's will. It's been 2 years. And how many times do we hear stories about how a will and an inheritance can just tear apart a family when it's not prepared for well? So I will humbly acknowledge that my dad's best gift was not preparing his children. And we care about each other, but you know, money does strange things to people, and it's one of those things where this has been terribly painful, and it could have been significantly warded off had my dad and my mom done better life estate or estate planning and planning around their will. And so it's one of those things where when you think about one of the ways that you want to be a good parent to your kids, and it would be really clear about how you're going to establish a will and an inheritance, making that supremely clean and clear and as appropriate, talked about in advance. Not the reason for my program today. Again, a whole other conversation, but I mention that as it comes up to All Souls Day. All Saints Day, though, is the other, again, the other part of this. And so All Souls Day, we do pray because one day we are going to meet the Lord, and we want to live life as if it's training for death. That was a very classical Greek way of looking at it, that we are getting ready to go home to the Lord. But the Feast of All Saints, or this Solemnity of All Saints, ought to do something for us. It ought to give us this vision of where not only we want to be, but how we want to live now as we get ready to meet the Lord forever in heaven. Do you realize, are you taking in good content that is helping you recognize the call of the moment, the call to become a saint? Are you pursuing that with any vigor or rigor in your life of faith? Do you call upon the saints? Do you call upon them to intercede for you as you live your life of faith here, so that you will grow in holiness, so that you will fulfill the mission that is distinctly yours? Do not leave the saints on the sidelines. You're not meant to. The saints are alive with the Lord in heaven. They see you, they know you, and in the mystery of God's plan, he will connect you to certain saints and saints to you, just like he has created a guardian angel that is specifically there for you. God will assign saints that says, care for this one and care for that one. And so as you have a sense of affinity or warm connection or a resonance with a particular saint, ask them to pray for you diligently, frequently, daily. Ask them to pray for you. And you'll be surprised and even amazed at how you might sense this deepened connection between heaven and earth. All right, coming up against a break, when we come back, I want to share with you a couple of podcasts that I have been listening to recently, and some of the themes that are there are connected to this entire idea of that we are living our life as a journey. Back in a minute. Welcome back to the program. In this final section, I'm going to talk about a couple of podcasts. And honestly, the podcasts, they're pretty much showing up on YouTube as a place of basically, I don't know if it's a talk or a homily, or maybe it is even a podcast, but they're all being posted on YouTube. And you're aware of that can be a very popular location for getting audio specific content, right? Even if it's a talking head. By talking head, I mean, if it's someone who's giving a talk at a conference and they're just standing at a podium and giving a talk, you really don't need to see the video. You're really just there to listen to the audio. And it's amazing how content like radio and podcasts are still so important as a form of education and formation in the faith. It's that place where you don't have to be so focused on keeping someone's attention by shifting what's being seen or showing a spectacle or something that's spectacular or grabbing at a visual level. No, it's really about the content. It's about the way that the content is being shared. It's being prepared. It's being laid out. And so in recent days, what has filled into my feed, and this is it's a really fascinating thing the way this happens, right? If you search for something, then related themes will start showing up as well. Maybe if you listen to a speaker for the first time, well, other things that speaker has talked about will also show up. And what I find striking about right now is that in these days, I have a lot of people, a lot of podcasts and homilies and talks show up about spiritual warfare. And I think it's because I gave that workshop on smartphones and screens and the digital world. And the framework that I was utilizing, the approach I was taking towards it is that this is a battle and the battle has come to us. And so as I've done research on this, all of a sudden I get all of these podcasts show up and these talks at conferences that are about we're in a spiritual battle. We're in a time of an impending chastisement. That's a big theme. I don't put so much focus on the theme of chastisement or even if you go further down that rabbit trail into things like the 3 days of darkness, I consider that a kind of form of Catholic fundamentalism. But the concept of chastisement is one that is very biblical, and it sort of maps out in terms of the church's historical experience that the Lord in his mercy loves his children. God created a world where we would flourish here on earth. We would welcome him in an intimate, personal, profound, life-giving relationship. With the regards to the fall, original sin, and personal sin, Christ came to redeem the world, etc. There's this salvation history at work. And so this idea is that what? That God loves us too much to leave us in our sin. God loves us too much to leave us in a place of spiritual bondage, in spiritual darkness, in spiritual danger, to not, in fact, achieve the purpose for which he created us, which is to be with him forever in heaven, and to be salt, light, and leaven while we're here on earth. And so I find it interesting that so much of the messages of chastisement tend to focus on we have sinned so terribly that the hammer of God's justice is going to take the place of the ocean of God's mercy. that there's a way in which God just has had enough. He has sent his warnings. He has sent his prophets. He has given us every signal that this is not acceptable, and he is going to come and do something about it. And that way of speaking for me, even though, again, it has certainly a precedent in the scriptures, and it does appear that way in certain apparitions, that if you tease in a bit more deeply, underneath all of that is God's universal saving will. That God loves us in an act of sheer goodness, creates us. He sends his son on a rescue mission, is constantly knocking on the door of our hearts, is longing to have us draw close to him, is almost infinitely patient with the ways that he knocks on the door of our lives and says, turn to me for your own peace, freedom, and flourishing. You will experience life in the way I intended it if you but welcome my will and turn your back from deeds that are betraying our relationship, what my good is for you in your own very self. Please, I love you that much that I won't let you continue to go down a trail that is going to leave you trapped in darkness. That for me is the message of chastisement. That chastisement is an expression of God's loving mercy, his loving kindness. He loves us too much to let us continue getting away with what he knows is not just not good for us, but is potentially utterly damning of ourselves and, let's say, horrifically damaging in the lives of those that we're called upon to be stewards, to form and shape and mold the lives of our kids. And then, oh, by the way, in the huge blessing that we've been given to be salt, light, and leaven in this world. I was talking with someone who just came into the church with his wife and kids. It was, again, a bit of a courageous act. And I might even have mentioned the story. But one of the things that he discussed was the incredible gift of going to confession. Here he is, a man in his 40s, and had never experienced confession, and now it's bringing a lifetime full of these sinful burdens that he has chosen, and he's bringing them before Jesus, present and at work in the priest in this sacrament, in order to get a spiritual resurrection. And it was one of these things that when he and his wife talked about going to their first confession, there were these tears. There was this relief, this release, this peace. That was the word they used. There was so much peace. It was overwhelming. But peace, Augustine, right? You've heard me say this. Pax est, what is the phrase? Peace is the reality of things being in proper order. Peace is the calmness. It's the calmness. It's the calm surface of the water. It's that sense of things being properly ordered, and so there's no disturbance. There's no churning. Because God is God, and we are under God, and we're living in now in a cleansed relationship with the Lord. Pax est tranquillitatis ordinis. Tranquillitas ordinis, that's what it is. Peace is the tranquility of things being in order, when things are tranquil. Pax est tranquillitatis ordinis. That's tranquillitas ordinis, that's what it is. So, And when I said to them, do you realize the gift you've been given that you now are able to access? Don't you want to climb on your biggest soapbox you can and cry out to others, come to this oasis of peace? come and experience the peace that the Lord has for you? And they were like, yes, yes. So there is a way in which, brothers and sisters, if we've been given the gift of our Catholic faith and we're able to access this amazing, astonishing gift of God's mercy, that we ought to become bearers of the good news of God's mercy and bring that to others. Bring it to others. This is our call to evangelize, our call to proclaim good news, our call to take advantage of the moments that God opens before us to be willing to share about our faith. And it doesn't have to be impositional. It doesn't have to be forced. It doesn't have to be harsh. It can be very, like, again, just gentle. So the other day I got my hair cut and I walked in. There was one of these places. Oh, there was like no wait. I went in. And she said, oh, do you want to wait for so-and-so or just the next available? I said, are you the next available? She said, yes. I said, great, let's go. So she started cutting my hair and I just said, tell me what's good about your day today. And she said, well, I'm leaving tomorrow. And she started talking about this new job she was going to take up as a teacher's assistant. And she was going to be working in a resource room. And I'm like, oh, my wife, she actually was a teacher in a resource room. So that's dealing with kids who have ADD, ADHD, behavioral difficulties, things like that. And I said, boy, that takes a tremendous amount of patience. And essentially what I did was I just said, God's given you a gift. He's given you a personality for this. He's given you a gift for this. I mentioned that hilaritas or hilarity is that incredible gift for a woman. And that idea of, I'm not going to take myself too seriously. I'm going to be able to surrender and just make room for the Lord to step in. And it was just a really beautiful conversation. It's just, what do you do for a living? What do you do for a living? And I mentioned about, well, I'm here now and I'm like, I live this life of faith and I do this radio program and talk about Jesus, right? She's like, I wondered if that's what you did because of just how you were talking. It just came across like this was so natural and easy and so much a part of what how you lived your life. Now, she didn't tell me that she was a person of faith. She didn't tell me that this was at the center of her life. She was more discreet about it, but neither was she turned off when I began with like important truths that are traced back to living an authentic human life. God is the creator of that life. And when we can speak to those truths, it does shine a light that comes from our faith onto that reality. And she found it to be a great blessing. Praise God for that. That's exactly what I want to do with my life, is to be able to help her. She was on her journey. And it was one of these, oh, what a coincidence that I happened to walk in on you in this second to last day. At the end of the day, you had one more day working there and you were feeling a bit apprehensive about taking on this new position. And I got to be a bit of an angel to her, to bring her a message of confidence and trust and confirming her sense of, you got this, you've been made for this, and you've got these giftings that the Lord has given you, go get them. And she found that to be a wonderful blessing. Brothers and sisters, if we're going to walk through life, if we're on this journey of life, because we're on this journey of life, let's not miss out on the opportunity that today brings. Today is going to bring you an opportunity. You don't know if it's just going to be an opportunity in prayer that the Lord inspires you, if it's going to be an opportunity that comes through some circumstantial thing, like someone you're interacting with at a grocery store or at a restaurant or at a barbershop. You just don't know. The Lord does. He has people out there who, guess what, are not aware of that ocean of mercy, are not aware of accessing those fonts of grace, are not aware of all that the Lord has for them. And you've been blessed in your journey of faith, not only for yourself, but on their behalf as well. Let's not forget that. Let's be grateful to the Lord for that. And let's continue to be of service to Him. God bless your day. Join me tomorrow for another program.